The Healing Room has already prayed this morning for Pastor Tim Pritchard, but we're going to pray for him again. So if you'll just join with me as we pray and just send the word to him. He's got a little bit of laryngitis going on. So we're just going to speak the word that his voice comes back now, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for strength in Pastor Tim's body, Lord. Father, from the top of his head to the very soles of his feet, Lord. We know, God, that healing already belongs to him, God. It's the believer's bread. So, Father, we just thank you right now, Father, for total restoration and total healing in Pastor Tim's body. And his voice comes back in Jesus' name with clarity, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I have been studying a lot on wisdom lately. How many know we need wisdom? Yes, we need wisdom. And how many know that after what we heard on Sunday, we need wisdom? So we need the wisdom of God. Our nation is crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world today. And believers, I think, for a long time have taken a back seat to what's been happening in our nation, in our world. And if you listen to the news too long, you would go just as crazy as the news reporters. So you can't listen to the news. You have to go to the Word of God. Amen. And we were put up with a challenge on Sunday. There's a vote with Title IX that's going to be going on September 12th. And so I really believe that we need the wisdom of God as to what to say and what to do and how to react to such a thing, to such immorality that's going on in our school system and in our nation. So I think wisdom's important. It's the chief thing. It's the thing that we need. It's the principal thing that we need. And so I just put this little study together. I put some keys together that I thought were important. And so I'm just going to share this with you and share this from my heart with you, because there's been many times in my own life when I've needed wisdom and I've needed the knowledge of God. I've been going through circumstances and difficult, trying times and trials, and I don't necessarily always know what to do. And so I have to go to God and I have to say, Lord, I need your wisdom and I need your knowledge in this. I need to know what to do and what not to do, what to say. Lord, I need to know what to think in this, because sometimes our thinking can get pretty perplexed, you know. And before we know it, we're compromising with something that we don't want to be compromising with because we failed to look into the Word of God and ask the Lord for wisdom. So, Father, I thank you for the wisdom that you've given us, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving us this afternoon ears to hear, Father. God, I thank you, God, for just opening up our hearts, Lord. And if there's any areas in our life, God, that we need wisdom, Father, that you would open up our eyes to be able to see that, Father. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you, God, for what you're doing here at River of Life Church. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, God, that you established this place, Father God, and you'll see this place and you'll watch over this place. You'll perform your word in here, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for Pastors Dave and Ina, and Lord, and all of the ministry teams, Lord, that are in this house, God, that are so dedicated to your will, Father, here. And Father, I thank you, God, that no weapon that is trying to be fashioned against this place, God, it shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for your will to be unfolded, Lord, not only in our lives, God, but in the lives of this church, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you, Father, that your word says that a good man's steps are ordered and directed by God himself. So, Lord, I thank you, God, that as we journey this journey together in this house, God, in this house that you've established, God, that you'll direct our feet, God, that you'll direct our paths, Lord, that you'll make the crooked places straight for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that today that you're working mightily, God, even when we don't see it, we know that you're still working, Father. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father God, that your angels, God, are over this house, Lord, over this city, over this nation, God. And I thank you, Lord, that they're just waiting for us to send them out, God. So, Father, I thank you, God, that today we send them out, Lord, to do our battle, Father. We send them out round about this church, Father. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing, Father. And we thank you for the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read to you a little bit out of the Passion Translation. I picked up a couple things in there while I was studying. So wisdom is the principal thing. So wisdom, the wisdom of God guides and teaches and brings joy and brings long life. This is a powerful tool for believers. Solomon, King Solomon, understood the importance of wisdom. He said that understanding and wisdom was a tool for the way that we live, and that as wisdom increases, a great treasure is imparted. So as the wisdom of God increases in our life, the very treasures of the kingdom of heaven are imparted to you and I. Proverbs 3:13 through 18 states in the Passion Translation, it says, "Those who find true wisdom obtain the tools for understanding, the proper way to live, for they will have a fountain of blessing pouring into their lives. To gain the riches of wisdom is far greater than gaining the wealth of the world." Let me read that verse to you again. "To gain the riches of wisdom is far greater than gaining the wealth of the world." And King Solomon knew this important truth. As wisdom increases, a great treasure is imparted, greater than many bars of refined gold. And you know how long it takes to refine a bar of gold and what it takes to refine gold and silver. It's a more valuable commodity than gold and gemstones. For there is nothing you desire that could compare to her, to wisdom. Wisdom extends to you long life in one hand and wealth and promotion in the other. That's pretty powerful. I'm going to read that to you again. Wisdom extends to you long life in one hand and wealth and promotion in the other. Out of her mouth flows righteousness, and her words release both law and mercy. The ways of wisdom are sweet, always drawing you into the place of wholeness. Seeking for her brings the discovery of untold blessings. That's pretty powerful. Seeking for her brings the discovery of untold blessings. It's like we're seeking the word of God, and we're seeking the Lord, and we're into his word. And all of a sudden, all these untold blessings begin to fall into our life. How many that happened to you? Where all of a sudden you know it's the blessings of the Lord that are flowing in your life. So seeking for her brings the discovery of untold blessings, for she is the healing tree of life to those who taste her fruits. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Passion Translation of Proverbs 3. The whole chapter for Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1 and go through the whole chapter in the Passion Translation, it would just blow you away the way that it's written. So number one, wisdom is the principal thing. So that's your first fill-in. So wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4 and verse 7 in the King James Version says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So seeking God's word should be the first thing we do for wisdom. Problems will never be solved. That's your fill in there. Problems will never be solved without the wisdom of God. And I would say that if we're not seeking God in the problem that we're in or the trial that we're in, we're never going to get God's answer. So we have to be seeking wisdom in God's word if we want the answer and the solution to our problem, because it's found in the word of God. Amen. So if we're not seeking it and we're just running around and we're wrestling things over in our mind and we're running to this sister or that brother, or we're trying to get counsel over here and trying to get counsel over there, and we're going like round in circle over the same thing. The moment you settle yourself down and you begin to seek wisdom and plant your face in the word of God, your answer will come. Amen. And I know this in my life. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. I'll just share a little testimony with you. So it was back in 1998, and my son was going into the 10th grade. And our schools were a little bit different. Our junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th, and then our high school was 10, 11, and 12. And so he had just entered the 10th grade, and he was starting to skip school, but unbeknownst to us until I got the phone call. So I got the phone call from the principal wanting to know how Bobby was feeling. So I said, "Oh, he's feeling great, you know." And she told me how many times that he had missed school. So I had gone to my husband, and both him and I knew exactly what to do, because we'd been down that road before. So we knew exactly what to do and where to go hunt him down that afternoon. And we found him and we brought him home, and we had quite the conversation. But something was stirring on the inside of me, because I had come up that same kind of road, and I had gotten in the 10th grade in high school, and I quit high school in my 10th grade. And I found myself pregnant. I was involved in drugs and all kinds of crazy. And my husband, the same too. And so we didn't know what to do. for Bobby. We didn't want him to go down that same path that we had gone down. And so it was really bothersome to me. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And I remember going, and I had this like Florida sunroom on the front of my house. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I don't want him to go down that road I went down. And I don't know how to stop him from doing that. I don't know how to what to do. And so how many know the Lord brings correction first? So first he said to me that I've been too busy, because I asked him, why didn't I see this, right? So you ever get into a problem and you think, why didn't I see this coming? And so, and he began to tell me all the things that I was doing that I didn't see. And so the first thing I did was repent, and I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And you know, when you repent before the Lord, the refreshing of God comes. And then I said, Lord, I need your wisdom. What do I do here? And he said the most profound thing to me. He says, you're going to homeschool him for the next 6 months. And I stood up in my sunroom and I said, homeschool him? I said, God, I got a 10th grade education. You want me to homeschool him? I said, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, God, because I can't teach him his French. I mean, I can't teach him that. That's what he's taking in 10th grade. So I can't teach him those things, God. I said, you're talking to Kimberly here. I have a 10th grade education. And he says, no, you're going to homeschool him. Your husband's going to agree, and the school is going to allow it. Okay, that's pretty bold. And so I went to my husband, and he agreed. And we made an appointment with the school officials, with the guidance counselor, and with the principal, and they all agreed. And I voiced my opinion in there. I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to teach him the English portion of his work. And so they gave me a couple tutors, and so that I could call. So I said, oh. So I called a tutor. She came from the Boonville High School, which was about 20 miles away. And she came twice a week and taught my son. And he waited for her. He really loved her and waited for her. So for the next 6 months, I homeschooled my son. How many know the grace of God enabled me to do that? Because I couldn't do that on my own. So I homeschooled him, and every day we had such quality, wonderful time together. And the English teacher would come, and I took him to the YMCA, because back in those days, you had, in order to get your credit, you had to have so many hours in your gym. So they call it PE now, but it was gym back in those days, we called it. And so I took him to the YMCA for his gym, and he would sign in and sign out, and I got a copy of that every day, and I would have to submit it to the school. Well, he went back at the end of the year, and he took all the exams and passed them and went into the 11th grade. Now, had I have not sought wisdom, it might have gone down a whole different path, might have gone down a whole different road. And so by the time he went into 11th grade, he was fine. He was away from the crowd that he was with, and I could see God's hand on my son. And I stood very proudly the day that he graduated from high school. So that's the wisdom of God. So it brings the blessings of God and hidden treasures of God when we seek him and we ask him for that wisdom. So it's the principal thing. So seeking God's word, number one, should be the first thing we do for wisdom. Problems will never be solved without the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. And so I would never, I don't think I could ever, it was only the grace of God that allowed me to be able to do that. You know, I could see God's hand in that. So number two, wisdom produces happiness. We must learn to be content. Lack of wisdom is a sign of unhappiness. And so Philippians 4:11, it says that not that I speak in regard of need, but whatever state that I find myself in, there I'm content. So if we lack wisdom, or even we're lacking in the word of God, your unhappiness could be a sign that you're not doing, or we're not doing what we should be doing, seeking God's word. Amen. Wisdom brings the untold blessings into our lives. And number three, I love in the King James Version of Proverbs 3 and verse 16, it says here, it says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. And our right hand is a sign of strength. So that's your fill in there. So our right hand is a sign of strength. So the most powerful thing about wisdom is that it gives you strength to live a long life. How many know that when you plant the word of God in your heart, you're promised a long life? Will I satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation, is what God's word says, right? So strength is in your right hand as you seek wisdom. That's beautiful. All right, so let's see. So I put some keys to wisdom that I found true in my own life. there's lots of keys to wisdom, and there's lots of great teachings out there on wisdom, but here are some that I found. And so, number one, wisdom is the blueprint for your life. Proverbs 3:19 in the King James Version says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens." If we want God's pattern for our life, seek wisdom and don't let it depart from you. Creation will always respond to the wisdom of God's word. And God's word is actually called, in Luke 11, verse 49, Jesus says that God's word is called wisdom. So Luke 11, 49 says, "Therefore, the wisdom of God also said." So God's word is the wisdom of God himself. And, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says that to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he won't depart from it. So it's the blueprint for our children's life, and it's the blueprint for our life. In the Passion Translation of Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Dedicate your children to God. Point them in the way that they should go, and the values that they learned from you will be with them for a lifetime." So it's the blueprint for our life. The wisdom and the word of God will guide us and direct us, and it'll make the crooked places straight in our life. Amen. The second key I find in wisdom is it's our hiding place. Proverbs 3:21 and 23 through 24 says, "My son, let them not depart," that's your fill-in, "from thine eyes. Keep wisdom and discretion." And I love that word discretion there, because discretion means speaking in such a way that you don't cause the spirit of offense. So keep wisdom in such a way that you don't cause the spirit of offense to your neighbor. Then thou shalt walk in safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou lie down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep will be sweet. The word of God will aid in our sleep. It's our hiding place with the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 states, "When our minds are stayed on the Lord, we will have perfect peace." Andrew Womack states, and I love this, he states, "All we need is the gospel." So I love that one. It's gospel. That's all we need. Take the word and keep it on. Keep your mind on it. Always keep your mind on it. And so keep wisdom and discretion. Discretion is you don't cause somebody else to stumble. You're cautious. You're cautious in keeping the word of God, and because the word of God lifts up, builds up, and edifies the body of Christ. Amen. The word of God is never to cast someone down or to slander them, but the word of God is just the opposite. It's to build, and it's to respect, and it's to honor. And so it brings me to the third key that I found. Wisdom teaches us to love. Proverbs 3:29 through 32 says, "Why would you hold a grudge?" So that your fill in there is a grudge. So why would you hold a grudge in your heart toward your neighbor who lives right next door? How many's ever held a grudge in their heart toward their neighbor? We've all done that once or twice, haven't we? And why would you quarrel with those who have done nothing wrong to you? Is that a chip on your shoulder? Now, this is the Passion Translation. Is that a chip on your shoulder? Don't act like those bullies or learn their ways. Every violent thug is despised by the Lord, but every tender lover finds friendships with God and will hear his intimate secrets. Don't put off doing good to your neighbor. They trust us for security. And I'll say that. So when I first moved in to the neighborhood where we live right now, I was out getting the mail one morning, and my neighbor comes down the driveway, and they introduce themselves to us. And they say to us, "If you ever need anything, here's my number, and you can call us." So they're security for you and I, our neighbors. They dwell safely to our right and to our left. So why would we hold a grudge against our neighbor? That's what wisdom says. Why would you hold that grudge? So wisdom teaches us, the word of God teaches us to love them. And isn't it true in Matthew 22 where Jesus says that the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. But the second commandment is just as good. Is just as important as the first commandment. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Passion Translation there in that verse says, love your friend as you love yourself, because your neighbor is your friend, right? So when I come in here and I love the body of Christ, you're not my neighbor. You don't live next to me, but you're part of the body of Christ. You're my friend, and I love you, right? So wisdom teaches us to not hold a grudge It teaches us blueprints for our life. And it teaches us that the Word of God is our hiding place. Amen. And so then the fourth key I looked up was ask for wisdom. And that's in James 1, verse 5. We know this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. And that's what happened to me that day that I was on my porch. So I was asking for wisdom, and he didn't pound me for my failure. He graciously told me, this is what you're doing, Kimberly, and you need to change these things. And the gracious. Yep. So, but he will overwhelm your failures with his gracious grace. Oh, generous. Yeah, generous. Excuse me, generous. Yep. With his generous grace. If we ask in faith, his word promises he will give it to us. But the next verse in verse 6, it goes on to say, just make sure that you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. Isn't that beautiful? And then it goes on to say, but the ambivalent, that means that word there means mixed feelings, person, believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed with the wind. You're up one minute and you're down or tossed down the next. So I would just encourage you that stop, if you're going through something, stop going in a circle. You know, I find myself, sometimes I go around the same circle, or I find myself, I'm on that same mountain that I was on 2 years ago, and I'm like on this mountain again. How many's ever been on that same mountain? And you wonder, Lord, what's going on? I'm on this same, I thought I already won that battle, you know? I thought I already defeated the enemy in that battle, but all of a sudden, here I am, and I'm going around that circle again, you know? So wisdom says, come before the Lord. Wisdom says, seek my face. Wisdom says, come and sit down with me a little while. Come and be merry at my feet. You know, come and sit with me and sup with me so I can show you how you don't have to go around that mountain again. And so you don't have to be tossed with every wind and every storm that seems to come. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in his word of God, in the word. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to have stability in our life. Amen. So 1 minute we're tossed up and tossed down. So stop going in circles, and we need to really begin to trust God. And then I would go on to say that don't let the enemy come in with distractions to pull you away from wisdom. So don't allow him to come in. You know, it says in 1 Peter that the enemy, like a roaring lion, comes in seeking to whom he may devour. And so don't let him come in like a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. So when you're going through a hard time or you're going through a trial, go and seek God's word. Seek wisdom. God, I need your wisdom here. I don't know. What do I need in my life? Maybe, is it deliverance that I need? Is it, what do I need? Do I need help? Do I need to confide in my pastors? What is it that I need to do? But I need your wisdom in this circumstance. Amen. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in and rob and steal from me. So God's word is full of wisdom, and honoring him and loving his word is the foundation. That's your next fill-in. So it's the foundation of who we are. The world's wisdom is very different from honoring God. Honoring God is far from them. Seeking God's wisdom will not look like the world's way. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it states, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it seems like in the world, everybody has an answer for something, you know, and it's never according to the word of God, because they've moved so far away from the world, from God's truths and God's principles. So our way of thinking and our answer is going to be completely different from their answer. But we must give the answer. We must give the truth, right? And it's going to take the wisdom of God for us to enable us to be able to do that. It's going to take the boldness of God in this hour to be able to stand when you seem like you can't stand. So it's going to be his wisdom that's going to guide us and direct us. And so if we need an answer, we seek God for the answer. If we need understanding to the problem, we seek God for the understanding. Solomon found this out really quick in his life. And so we need to be just like Solomon. We don't ask for riches or gold or silver, although they come to us as we seek wisdom. As we seek wisdom, blessings come into our right hand. Honor and glory come into the left hand, right? Blessings come in. So as we seek the Lord, these things come to us as part of our walk with the Lord. But in this hour that we live in, we need the wisdom of God, number one. And then we need the understanding, and we need the boldness to be able to speak what God has showed us. Amen? Okay, so Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I would just encourage you to take these keys and meditate on them. Wisdom is the blueprint that you're filling there. So wisdom is your blueprint. Remember, long life will God satisfy us and show us his salvation. For it's your hiding place. He holds us secure. When we lay our head down at night, wisdom becomes our hiding place with the Lord. And wisdom, it teaches us to love. That's your third fill in there. Teaches us to love. And all we need to do is just ask for it in faith. You know, we don't receive sometimes because we ask not. So we need to ask the Lord so that we can receive. And I love how Pastor Tim got up on Sunday morning and shared with us 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I think that we're in that moment in our life. We're here. We're here now in the 21st century, at the end of August, in an election cycle. And there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. And what we need the most is the wisdom of God. We need his wisdom. And when he gives us something to say and to speak and to do, we need the understanding of how to do it. And so our society is moving in the complete wrong direction. But wisdom says, if we humble ourselves and pray, then God will come and he'll heal our land. So we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. What is our part? What is our part in our community, in our home, in our church? What is our part? What is it that you want me to do? What does wisdom say for Kimberly? What does wisdom say for Pastor Lorraine? What does it say for Vicki? What is God telling you to do, Mabel? And then get an understanding of what Holy Spirit is saying. And then humble yourself before the Lord. Go before him and humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this without you. I cannot do this. I can't do the task that you're asking me to do, but I know that if I humble myself before you, then you'll give me the words that I need to say. You'll put me in the place where I need to be, and at that moment, it'll be your moment. It'll be the moment where you shine, where I become the salt in the light of this earth. So we need to be in that place. So wisdom says, come and seek me. Wisdom says, I am your hiding place. I am the blueprint. I am the path for your life. I'll give you direction and I'll make the crooked places straight. Wisdom says, trust me. When you lie your head down at night, you'll find peace. Wisdom says, learn to love. You can love through me because wisdom says that you can. So I just want to encourage you with that. And I want to do something different in closing. So if you'll just stand up with me. Yeah, ask. Yes, ask. So it's the blueprint for your life. There's lots of keys that you can take away from wisdom when you study the book of Proverbs. This is just a few that has just recently touched my life, that God has been showing me how important the blueprint of his life is for me. And he's been showing me how important love covers a multitude of sin. And he's been showing me how, just ask me, Kimberly. If you just ask me, I'll show you, you know. So he's been showing me these things, and I just wanted to share them with you, because in this hour that we live in, we need his wisdom. And we need to know what to do and what not to do, what to say. We need his understanding. Amen. So I want you to partner up with somebody, not somebody that you normally partner up with. So partner up with somebody. We do this in the prophetic class. So partner up with somebody. And this is what we want. We want you to pray for your partner. And I'll need a partner too. So we want you to pray for your partner, that the wisdom of God, the impartation of that wisdom will come, that they'll receive a greater understanding in the Word of God, and that they'll know in their own lives what God has called for them to do. And then when you're done, I want you to pray for the wisdom of God for River of Life Church. Can you do it? Okay. You're my partner. Pray for the wisdom of God for the partner that you're praying for in their lives. And when you're done praying for the wisdom of God in their lives, Then you're going to pray for the wisdom of God for River of Life Church together.